Well, we've been in the book of Ezekiel. Today we're going to get into the matter of the resurrection of Christ. If I can get my computer going here, here we go. And so we're going to talk about the power of his resurrection. And Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. Now, there are different areas of this power. What we experience now, the power of his resurrection, and that we do not fear death. That's a powerful thing, and praise God for that. But we're going to talk about why was Jesus really raised? Why not just let him pay the price on the cross, let him shed his blood for our sins, go to heaven, and then we'd have our soul saved, say, go to heaven. But why a resurrection? Now, of course, as we've seen and that we've talked about before, but most churches and most, in fact, 99% of them, I'd say, celebrate the matter of Jesus being crucified on Friday, which is totally wrong. Jesus died according to the scriptures, and the scriptures in that light taught about the matter he would die on the day of the Feast of the Passover. And then he would be buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He'd be raised on the Feast of the First Fruits. Now, originally, those feasts were set up according to the day of the month, not according to the moon. And it was a Jewish calendar that was set up and started. The first month of the Jewish calendar was same as what we have of April. Our April would be the first month of the Jewish calendar. And so on every the first month or April of our calendar, on the 14th day, you had the Passover. Well, each year that would change the day of the week it would be on. Sometimes it'd be on Monday, sometimes on Tuesday, then on Wednesday or Thursday. It'd never be on Friday. With the Jewish calendar was dying away, that it wouldn't be that way. Now, on the Feast of the Passover, it'd be on the 14th. The next day, while the Passover is still going, you started the Feast of Unleavened Bread on the 15th, the second day. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread was a Sabbath, a high Sabbath. Now, that Sabbath differed from the regular Sabbath that was on the seventh day of the week. The regular Sabbath, you couldn't work, you couldn't prepare a meal. On the high Sabbath, you couldn't work, but you could prepare a meal. And, of course, this would be during the Feast of the Passover and all involved with that. Well, people don't realize that. And so when the scriptures talked about they had to take Jesus down from the cross because of the Sabbath day, they assumed then that that would be on Friday. And the Sabbath, talking about the regular Sabbath on Saturday. In John chapter 19, it talks about that, when it talked about taking their bodies down from the cross because of the Sabbath, and said that was the high day, the high Sabbath. Now, Jesus observed a couple of Passovers with his disciples before it came to this one. He never mentioned, I would desire to eat the Passover with you, until he came to this one. On that year, the Passover, the 14th day, fell on Thursday. This year, our calendar, the 14th day is Thursday, the Passover. Friday was the 15th, which Friday was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, the Jewish day starts at 6 p.m. the day before. So on Thursday at 6 p.m., you started the 15th day. They had to take him down from the cross on Thursday and get him in the tomb before 6 o'clock. And they didn't have time for the burial process. And that was done quickly, and it wasn't done completely. And so the women were going to come back after the Sabbath. That was the high Sabbath and the regular Sabbath, and finished the burial process. And but now, so Jesus was crucified on Thursday. He was put in the tomb that Thursday evening before 6 o'clock, which would start the feast of the first of a Feast of Unleavened Bread, and he would be in the tomb then 3 days and three nights. Well, if you have him on Friday, he's only in the tomb 2 nights, Friday night and Saturday night. On Thursday, he's in the tomb Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. You have him in the tomb beginning on that Thursday evening, which was Friday, after 6 p.m. That's the first day, Saturday, and he was raised on the third day, Sunday. which is the Feast of the First Fruits. And so that falls in place on that. But people not understanding the Old Testament is going to miss that and misunderstand what was being done. And that's been down through the ages. And once that gets going, it's hard to change it. People, the world wants to believe, and even Christians wants to believe a fable before they'll believe the truth. But now, with that in mind, just giving you that background, what about the resurrection of Christ? Why was he raised, Satan? Our salvation was completed when he died on the cross. At the last part, he said what? It is finished. The sacrifice was finished. The Passover lamb was finished. The matter of the sacrifice of Abraham and Isaac was finished. Salvation was complete in the matter of our soul being at the cross. But then what about our bodies, Satan? Our bodies must be redeemed. In Romans 8, we look for the redemption of our bodies. Our bodies are not redeemed right now. We have this old sinful physical body of Adam, and it's got to be changed. Well, now, this is the power of the resurrection of Christ. What did he do when he was raised? So question number one, we're to know the power of the resurrection of Christ. And we're just looking at one aspect of it. There's other aspects of it that you need to know as well. But this one, hardly you hear anything about it. Now, in Matthew 27, verse 57, when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. This is at the conclusion of Jesus dying on the cross. They did not kill him. They did not murder him. He gave his life for us. When the soldiers came to break their legs because they had to take him down quickly, wanted to be sure they were dead, they noticed he was already dead. They pierced his side to make sure of that. Well, now Joseph of Arimathea is a rich man. And he goes to Pilate to ask for the body of Jesus. Said he went to Pilate, verse 58, and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, that's a burial cloth, and he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Well, now there's more to that than just that. You had to read the other gospels in this. And John chapter 19, verse 39, along with Joseph of Arimathea, there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus at night. He's the one that Jesus said, you must be born again. And he brought a mixture of myrrh and alloys, about 100-pound weight. Then took they, that's Nicodemus and Joseph, they then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with a cloth, yeah, clothes with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury it. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new sepulchre wherein was never man yet laid. This is Joseph's new tomb. He's a rich man. So he doesn't have a grave like the others. He has one specially built for him and his family, and he has a garden in the front of it. Most of them doesn't have that. They rolled an old boulder across the door to keep the animals out of there. Well, he doesn't do that. He's got everything fixed up fancy. We'll see it in a few moments. In verse 42, there laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. That's talking about the Passover and the unleavened bread. So Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus buried the body of Jesus in Joseph's new tomb. Now, this is the picture of the tomb. I took this picture, and you can see there's a trough here. And where the stone wasn't a boulder that they rolled up there, he had a special stone made, and I'll just put one up there like he had made on that. That was cut flat, and that on both sides, and you could roll it in that trough and roll it across the door, which made it more convenient. He was a rich man. He could do that. Most people couldn't do that type of thing, but this is what they had, and this is where Jesus would be buried. And so now they bring in the body. The body that Jesus had for his ministry came from the womb of Mary. He had that body to begin with from the time of conception. He did not possess somebody else's body. It would have been sinful. He had that body. He experienced the limitations of that body. He would get tired. He'd be hungry. He had to sleep and rest and other things. It was limited. It could hurt. It could be whipped. It could die. And so he had to experience, and that's the body he had. So he couldn't walk in there. He was dead. The body was dead. Jesus wasn't dead, nor is any other individual that dies. They're not really dead. Their body dies. The soul is still alive in this. And so they take him in and put him in the tomb. And they come out and they roll the stone across the door. And then they have it sealed. Others, the Jews have it sealed to keep people from opening and saying that he was raised and still the body of Christ. All right, so now we, after 3 days and three nights, Jesus in the, his body in the tomb, Jesus changed. And that's the key word. That's in Corinthians, and it's a word that we don't pay attention to. Jesus changed the natural earthly body to a spiritual heavenly body as he raised it from death. This was the purpose of the resurrection, is to change this physical body that we have into an eternal body. Not into a ghost or something, but no, a physical, eternal body. And so on that third day, early in the morning, before the angels came and rolled back the stone, Jesus came forth from that tomb. He didn't have to have the stone rolled away. He changed that physical body. If he had not changed that physical body that he had before, they'd have to roll the stone out for him to come out. He came out and materialized. He just walked right through it, or he just became invisible, and in the invisible world walked outside. He could wipe himself out and go to another place. He didn't have to walk anywhere. He could just think about it and be there. That's a physical body. That's what he changed the body that he had to that. And so then the stone was rolled back by an angel to allow us to go in and to see that Jesus was not there. Now in 1 Corinthians 15:42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. And that word sown means it is buried. So now the body of Jesus was buried in corruption, but changed and raised in incorruption. Now by corruption means that body that that Joseph and Nicodemus carried in that tomb, it was always dying. Once he reached the middle age, then it starts downhill. From the time you come out of the womb all the way up to middle age, you're growing. And then in middle age, you start downhill on that, and your body starts wearing out. The newness is gone. Now the parts begin to wear out. You got to replace this and that, or you break it and have to replace it or tear it up. And so his body was placed in the tomb in this matter of being in the of corruption. It was being destroyed. But as it was placed there, it was raised, though, in incorruption. Now it had no limitations. It could walk right through the wall, the stones, or just appear and disappear on one side or the other. Are you getting the picture of what he did on his resurrection scene? Now in 1 Corinthians 15:43, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown or buried in weakness, it is raised in power. And so the body of Jesus was buried in dishonor and weakness, but changed and raised in glory and power. Now, as we find Nicodemus and Joseph taking this body of dishonor, they stripped him of all of his clothes. That's a dishonorable death. He was on the cross. That's the results of sin. The wage of sin is death. It's a dishonor, disgrace. And people die as a result of that on there. And but praise God, on that first day of the week, Jesus was raised in glory. And what a wonderful blessing we have in power. He overcame that. He changed our bodies. Now, this was very important. Remember Thomas, who wasn't there when Jesus appeared to the apostles and all? He said, unless I see the nail prints in his hands. Why was he asking for the nail prints in his hands? He knew that if Jesus is God, as he claimed to be, and he would be raised from the dead, he would change the physical body that we have to a heavenly body. And he would have it be the same body, not have a brand new body. And where this is done away with and you just get a brand new nail. If that was the case, you just die and go to heaven, get a new body, no resurrection. See? But this body must be raised. And so we find then that evening, Jesus appeared to the apostles. There were others there. The women were there. Some other people were there with him, with the apostles. They were not there to celebrate or to think about the resurrection of Christ. They were mourning the death of Jesus. They were afraid the Jews were going to come and arrest them and have them crucified. The shutters were closed. The doors were locked. If you wanted to go in, you had to knock on the door and they would ask who's there. If they said, well, we're from the Sanhedrin, they wouldn't let them in. If it was Mary or some of the others had gone to the tomb and came back, they'd let them in on that. While they were discussing that, the doors locked, something happened. They noticed some feet without a body. And it gradually developed right before them. They thought they were seeing a ghost. Now just think about that. What if you were there and you saw some feet and then the rest of the body began to slowly develop? You'd think it was a ghost. And that, well, in John 20:19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. He didn't knock on the door. If he had knocked on the door, then they'd ask who is it? And he said, it's I, Jesus. And then everybody would have been at the door to see him. But they're there discussing what they're going to do now since he's dead. And what we misunderstood all these things. And then Jesus appears to him in Luke 24:37. It says, but they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they'd seen a spirit. They thought he was a ghost, and rightly so. You'd think the same thing today, see. And he saith unto them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Now, let me back up to this verse here, where he said, and he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do you do thoughts arise in your hearts? Who are you serving? Today, you are not thinking right when you talk about God and about Jesus. Why are you worried about all of these things? You're serving a living, risen Savior. You're serving the God of Almighty, and we act like we're serving a man. We act like we're serving someone that has the limitations that we have. We're not. We're serving the Almighty. Nothing to be afraid of. And even though things might not be going the way we think it ought to go, God is doing it the best way. Trusting by faith. Get out of that sight part and faith. This physical body keeps us remembering our physical part, and we try to serve God the same way. You got to get out of that. He's telling them, why are y'all thinking that way? Don't you know who I am? But then you thought you saw me appear like no one else ever would. I'm not a ghost. I'm physical. See, I can appear and disappear, but I'm physical. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hand, his feet. Why did he do that? It's the same body that was buried, has been changed, and now a different body. And praise God for that. That's what we'll have. See? And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said to them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. We could spend hours, and I'm just having to really condense this down to get into the time we have now, of this changed body is similar to what we've got now. It can eat. It's physical. You can touch it or it can be invisible. And what a body we're going to have. There they were amazed at what they were seeing. And yet this is the type of body we'll have, not only in heaven, but here on this earth for 1,000 years. Not for 20 years or 80 years, but for 1,000 years. Now, on average, middle age is from 30 to 50. Jesus was about 32 years old, middle age, when he was raised. Therefore, it is believed that the resurrected bodies of the saved will not be older than middle age. Now, that's where we get that particular idea and thought with this. Now, let's take two people. I'm going to take a man and a woman. They're children, babies, age 1 to 3. They grow and become children of age 6 to 15. And we consider them still as children. Then they continue to grow if nothing's happened to them. And from 16 to 29, a young person, young adult involved in this. And then they continue to grow. They mature then to an age of 30 to 64, middle age. And then as they grow, continue to grow and have more years, they get to that 65 and older. And the body is showing the decay now. And now when a person dies at this age, over 65, their soul is still that of middle age. And when the soul comes out of the body, it's still just middle age. Now, when it happens, the angels come and they escort that soul in the presence of God. Now, that's what happens immediately when you die. Now, then they'll open a grave and they'll take your body and bury it there. Now, let's say this man, he dies, his soul comes up, but he's not saved. So his soul is the age of what he was, old, decrepit. He's not going to be dancing around in hell. He's going to be burning in hell. He's lost. Angels don't come. He just drops right down to hell in the center of the earth. Graves are open. His body's buried. All right. Now, let's come to the time. We're going to have different stages of life out here of those that are there. And it's time for the rapture. The clouds form. I started trying to find a white cloud. No. Following this is the tribulation period, a storm like you've never heard before. But you see, we're going to be on the other side of that storm. Oh, what a time is coming. Well, now, when that happens, a grave is opened and a soul comes back and the body is changed and raised and it goes up to the clouds. Another grave is opened, that of a young child, and it receives a resurrected body, still the age of that child. And then you have another one of a young adult, and their soul comes, and their body is raised and goes up to the clouds. And then you have a baby that the soul comes, and that baby is raised as a baby and has that and goes up in the clouds. And then you have a middle-aged person, and their soul is raised. Then you have one of the senior adults, but their body, this is a young child up here on this, and then you have this senior adult and she dies and her soul is raised, but it's raised as, the body is raised as a middle age. Now, these others will mature during the millennium to that of a middle-aged person. The middle-aged will never get older than that. Now we've got them raised out of that. You notice some of the graves weren't open. That's lost. They're not raised at that time. Now, at the same time, I got this one up there. You've got now two in the field, one taken, one left. But with the children, both babies are taken. They haven't reached the age of accountability. Notice their diapers are left on the ground on that. When the same person is raised, the kids, his clothes are left there. That's the only way you can tell they're gone. And that the others, we know their graves are open, but the lost graves are not open. And so each one, and they will mature, they'll come back now. In 7 years, all of these are coming back to the earth with Jesus at the second coming and be here for 1,000 years, and their body will mature to that of middle age. Now you have this one here. She is going along. She's crazy. Well, her body is changed right then. And then it is taken up. See? And same thing. Now we got another one, but he was saved this time. And his body is changed to middle age and going up. This all happens quicker than you can blink your eye. That's the power of his resurrection. That's why Jesus was raised, that this will happen. And we will have that body. We don't have to be afraid of anything. Do what you want to this old body. I'm going to live again. Okay. Mark my tomb, because, brother, it's going to be open. Anything on top of it's going to be destroyed. Well, now, the age before the flood. Here we've got the baby from 1 to 3. The children aged 6 to 13. Then the age of the young adults went from 14 to 100. Most of them didn't start having children until they were 100 years old or 500 years old before the flood. And then so from the middle age went from 100 to 500 or better. And then you had Noah and them. They began to age a little bit more from 500 to 800, 800 to 900. And Methuselah's probably walking around stooped over. Adam and Eve was too. This is before the flood. And so then you have the 900 and older. And so you had this different stages of the development because they all had the body that we have now. Now, the age now, age 1 to 3, age 6 to 13, age 14 to 19, then your middle age, 20 to, young adults, 20 to 35, then 36 to 50, middle age, and then age 51 to 80 or older in that of your final part on that. That's where we are now. During the millennium, you'll have some lost people here. Their age will be 1 to 3. 6 to 13, 14 to 100. If one dies at the age of 100, it's considered a child during the millennium. You'll have from 100 to 500, and then 500 to 800 by middle age, and loss will go on to 800 to 900, and 900 or more. They have the bodies that we've got now. This is for the lost. But what about the saved during the millennium? The babies will mature from that age as they were raised to that of a child, as well as a child, and on up to the young adult. And then you've got to the age of 100 to 50, and then the age of 50 to 500 more. All of these will mature to this stage here. They won't get any older than that. You'll not have any old people like this of the saved. Now you'll have them of the lost during the 1,000-year reign, but not of the saved on them.